This reading was developed by the Center for Clinical Interventions. Facing Your Feelings, Module 4, Tolerating Distress. In this module, we'll go over the following sections. Introduction. Distress Tolerance Action Plan. My Distress Tolerance Action Plan. Distress Exposure. Adjusting Distress Intolerant Beliefs. Adjusting My Distress Intolerant Beliefs. Maintaining Your Gains, and Emotional Well-Being, followed by a module summary. Introduction. By working your way through modules 2 and 3, we've introduced you to all the skills you need to start tolerating your distress. In this module, we'll put together all that you've learned in a distress tolerance action plan. It's then just a matter of lots and lots of practice, and we'll give you some ideas on how to get the practice you need. As you'll see, if you can apply your action plan regularly, then over time you can change the distress intolerant beliefs that are at the heart of your difficulties dealing with distress. Distress Tolerance Action Plan. A good distress tolerance action plan requires 5 steps. Let's take a look at each in turn. 1. Triggers. For an action plan to be useful, you need to first have some awareness of the common things that trigger your distress. Being more aware of what ignites your distress will give you a heads up for when you might particularly need to be using your action plan. These triggers could be external, such as certain situations, events, people, cues in the environment, etc. Or these triggers could be internal, such as certain thoughts, memories, images, bodily sensations, etc. A good way to get in touch with your common triggers is to think of past examples of not being able to deal with distress. That is, past times you used your old escape methods, like situational avoidance, reassurance seeking or checking, distraction and suppression, alcohol or drugs, binge eating, excessive sleep, harmful releases, etc. See if you can work out what triggered off or led you to these behaviors in the first place. Now, below on your handout are some common triggers of distress. We'll go through them together, and then you can tick any that apply to you or note others that are specific to you that aren't listed. Relationship problems. Friendship problems. Family problems. Partner or spousal behaviors. Anniversaries. Socializing. Financial problems. Unemployment, body sensations or symptoms, going out in public, untidiness, thinking about myself negatively, comparing myself to others, hearing bad news, seeing family, seeing friends, arguments, people being unfair or rude, medical appointments, work or study stress, thinking about the past, thinking about the future, being disorganized, health problems, physical sensations, physical appearance. Now's the time to pause the recording to fill out any other triggers you may have in your own life. Two, warning signs. In addition to being aware of common triggers of your distress, it's also helpful to be aware of the warning signs that tell you that you're having trouble dealing with your distress and hence need to focus on using your action plan. Warning signs are the feelings, thoughts, physical sensations, or behavioral urges or actions that signal you are feeling overwhelmed distress and that you need to decide how best to handle this feeling. Like before, we have listed some common warning signs over the next page. As we go through them, underline any that apply to you and then note others that are specific to you that are not listed. We'll start at the far left-hand column and then work our way right. Feelings. Disappointment. Hurt. Despair. Guilt. Shame. Sadness. Depression. grief, misery, irritation, agitation, frustration, disgust, jealousy, anger, rage, hatred, nervousness, anxiety, dread, fear, panic, and terror. Now you can pause to jot down any other feelings-related warning signs that you have in your life. Now moving on to thoughts. I can't cope. This is hopeless. This is unbearable. This isn't going to get better. I'm losing control. I can't deal with this. I'm a mess. I'm weak. I have to stop this. Now you can pause the recording to jot down any other thought-related warning signs you have in your life. Next, we have physical sensations. Low energy, fatigue, heaviness, crying, excessive energy, tension, increased heart rate, fast breathing, sweating, hot, shaking, stomach problems, chest pressure, restlessness, fidgety. Now you can pause the recording to jot down any other physical sensations that you get as warning signs. Finally, we have urges or actions. Pace. Can't sit still. Withdraw or isolate yourself. Lash out. Yell. Throw things. Avoid. Reassurance seeking. Checking. Distraction. Suppression. Alcohol or drug use. Binge eating. Excessive sleep. And harming self. Now pause the recording to jot down any other urges or actions that are warning signs for you. 3. Commit to dropping escape method and doing opposite actions. Once you acknowledge your distress via being more aware of your triggers and warning signs, you're in a better position to make a commitment to dropping your usual escape methods, like situational avoidance, reassurance seeking or checking, distraction and suppression, alcohol or drugs, binge eating, excessive sleep, harmful releases, etc. In Module 3, we saw how important it is to try to do the opposite of our escape methods. Our escape methods are usually automatic habits we quickly jump to when we're distressed. Hence, the decision to not go down this path sometimes slips past us. By being more aware of triggers, warning signs of our distress, we can choose to take a different path of doing the opposite action. Your commitment might sound something like, I'll try to tolerate this distress rather than using my old habit of drinking to dull the pain. Or, I'll stay with this feeling rather than avoiding situations that make me feel this way. Making a commitment to drop your usual escape methods and do the opposite could be something you do mentally or say out loud, or write down or tell someone about. It's up to you. The main thing is making your actions a conscious choice rather than an automatic habit. Take time to write a statement that reflects the commitment you might like to make to dropping your usual escape method and instead doing the opposite action. You might gain inspiration from what you've already written in the What Not to Do and What to Do sections of Module 3, page 7. You can pause the recording now to complete this exercise. 4. Accepting distress. In essence, this step is about applying all that you learned in Module 2. Your personalized mindfulness of distress script on page 8 of Module 2 is most relevant here. The script you devised and have been practicing will help you to 1. Recognize and allow the emotion, 2. Watch the emotion by detaching from it, describing it, and using imagery, 3. Being present, focused on the task or your breath, and 4. Deal with the inevitable emotional comebacks. Five, Improving distress. In essence, this step is about applying all that you learned in Module 3. List all the distress improvement activities, both active and soothing, that you have discovered work for you. The words of encouragement that can help you through the moment of distress and aspects of problem solving that may be relevant when you do have some control over the situation distressing you. Now we want you to put all 5 steps together on a single page that becomes the most important page of all these modules. Try to keep this page somewhere easily accessible. You may even make multiple photocopies and put it in various places. The idea is that when you're facing emotionally difficult times, you can look at this sheet to guide you through the new process of practicing distress tolerance rather than giving into old habits. As always, there's an example distress tolerance action plan on the next page, followed by a blank copy for you to complete using what we've already written in this module and modules 2 and 3. Put time and effort into your personalized distress tolerance action plan, refining it each time you use it, until you have a plan that works really well for you. Take some time, pause the recording to complete this exercise now. Distress exposure. Aside from practicing your distress tolerance action plan the next time and any time you happen to experience distress, another way to gain confidence that you can deal with your distress is to purposefully seek it out. In other words, purposefully expose yourself to emotional discomfort and apply your action plan. Now, this approach might not be for everyone, but it is a good way of gaining practice and building confidence in your distress tolerance abilities and reducing any fear of negative emotion you may have. Distressing situations I could approach. If you'd like to give distress exposure a go, then the first step is to think of a variety of situations, places, people, activities, etc. that may bring on emotional distress for you. The key being that we're looking for situations that'll allow you the opportunity to practice your distress tolerance action plan. Here are some examples of potentially distressing situations. Note those that are relevant to you, and then you can add others that you can think of. Emotional movies, TV shows, movies, and books. Watching the news. Looking at old photos or memorabilia. Visiting the cemetery. Thinking about the past or future. Emotional conversations with family or friends. Stating my opinion or raising an issue that might lead to an argument. Situations that make me anxious, like public places, shops, socializing, public transport, etc. Activities that bring on physical sensations that make me anxious, like heavy exercise, sitting in a hot car, caffeine, breathing rapidly, spinning on the spot, etc. Or activities that make me angry, like driving, standing in a queue, debating topics, etc. You can now pause the recording to jot down any others you can think of. Distress exposure stepladder. Now you can create a distress exposure stepladder. This is a list of activities likely to be distressing to you that you can now start doing gradually as a way of practicing your new distress tolerance skills. The first step is to work out your goal, that is, what you would like to be able to do, but can't because you fear feeling distressed. Each step can be then about working towards that goal. Your steps could involve a variety of activities, like a stepladder example given over the page, or could involve just one activity. If it is just one activity that distresses you, then each step on your stepladder might involve increasing the amount of time you spend doing that activity, or changing who you do that activity with, or where you do that activity, when you do that activity, etc. The main thing is trying to create manageable steps that go from easier activities to harder activities, and that each activity generates some distress which you can use to practice your distress tolerance action plan. When planning the steps, make a note of the distress rating from 0 to 100 that you would give each step. That is, how much distress you think you'll experience when doing each step. This rating scale is a good way to check that you have your steps in order from easiest to hardest, that you are starting with manageable first steps, and that your steps are fairly evenly spaced without huge jumps in between each step. You'll see an example on the following page of your handout. You can take some time now to pause the recording to fill out the exercise for yourself. Distress exposure guidelines. Now that you know what the first step is, it's time to do it. But before you do, here are a few guidelines to keep in mind to ensure that your distress exposure is effective. 1. Apply your distress tolerance action plan. Don't forget to put the action plan you have worked on so far into practice each time you take a step on your stepladder. After all, distress exposure is your opportunity to practice distress tolerance and fine-tune any teething problems. 2. Stay in the situation. As much as possible, try to stick with each activity by using your distress tolerance action plan until you experience your distress subside. If you pull out too soon before you've experienced your distress drop, you'll feel like the distress has gotten the better of you and it may rock your confidence. 3. Repetition. With each step on your stepladder, repeat it until you no longer feel the activity is a problem for you before moving on to the next step. That way, your progress will be steady and solid. 4. Reward your successes and learn from any negative experiences. Building distress tolerance is a learning process. Purposefully confronting your distress in order to put your distress tolerance action plan into practice is a big deal. So recognize this and reward yourself. However, when we're learning a new skill, we can't expect things to always go smoothly. If things don't go to plan, try to sit back and learn from it. How could you do it differently next time? Do you need to refine anything on your distress tolerance action plan? Do you need to go back to an easier step on your stepladder and do some more repetition before tackling the harder step again? Distress exposure diary. You can use the table on your handout to record your stepladder progress. You can describe what you plan to do and your distress ratings for how distressed you both expected to be and how distressed you actually were. The last column asks you to jot down any comments about the experience. Were you able to do the activity as planned? Were you able to put your distress tolerance action plan into practice? And if so, how did it go? If you experienced a great deal of difficulty, you can note down why you think this might be the case and how you can approach it next time or rework your action plan. Adjusting distress-intolerant beliefs. As was introduced back in Module 1, at the heart of distress intolerance are certain negative beliefs about what it means to experience negative emotions. These beliefs tend to center on the notion that negative emotion is either bad in some way, for example, distress makes me weak, or it's wrong or bad to be emotional, it's stupid, it's unacceptable, or unbearable, for example, I can't bear being distressed, I hate it, I can't stand it, must get rid of it, or will lead to disastrous consequences. For example, if I feel a negative emotion, then I won't be able to cope, I'll lose control, go crazy, be a mess, I won't be able to function, and it'll be dangerous. In Module 1, pages 6 and 9, you identified your distress intolerant beliefs. Let's double check these beliefs by answering the following questions. You can pause the recording as we go along so that you can fill in your answers. If I experience emotional distress, then what will happen? What will it be like? What will it mean about me? What will I need to do? Now see if you can summarize your answers into one key distress intolerant belief you strongly hold. Emotional distress is bad because... It's important to realize that if you keep using your distress tolerance action plan and keep facing your distress rather than trying to escape it, then over time your distress intolerant beliefs will weaken and erode. This is because of the very act of tolerating your distress, you'll be gathering evidence and experiences that show you these beliefs are not true. This adjustment process does rely on time and your persistence in practicing what you've learned throughout the modules. However, let's see if we can help the process along a little by working through the worksheet on the next page. As always, we've provided a complete example followed by a blank worksheet for you to work on. The worksheet will guide you through a series of questions that'll challenge your distress and tolerant beliefs, allowing you to start adjusting them and developing more distress tolerant beliefs. What is a distress tolerant belief, I hear you ask? Might sound something like, negative emotions are normal and nothing to be feared. Feeling distress doesn't have to lead to disaster. Negative emotions pass if you don't fight to avoid them. And I can stand uncomfortable emotions. As you complete this exercise, you'll go over the following sections. The first being the distress intolerant belief that you want to adjust. Next, consider, do I have any evidence or experiences that go against this belief, particularly from when I've used my distress tolerance action plan, either spontaneously or through planned distress exposure? Next, you'll answer, why is distress not necessarily a bad thing and may even be important? After that, you'll answer, what is a realistic expectation of human beings when it comes to experiencing distress? Next, you'll ask, if a friend held the same distress intolerant belief for themselves, what advice would I give them? Then, what would be a new distress tolerant belief that I'd like to hold? And finally, what would I need to do to be living my life in accordance with this new belief? You can now pause the recording so that you can fill out the worksheet provided. Maintaining your gains. Congratulations, you've made it to the end of the modules. You should feel proud of yourself for sticking with it. Now, at the end of the day, it's important to keep going. Expect that changing how you deal with distress will take time, practice, persistence, and patience. Expect that you'll have good days and bad days. Expect that you'll have days when you feel like you're tolerating your distress really well, and days when you feel like you've slipped back into being intolerant. The old saying of two steps forward, one step back is very true. If you expect setbacks when you sign up for the journey of learning how to tolerate your distress, then when you face a bump in the road, you'll be less likely to criticize your efforts and give up. As such, you'll be better able to keep going with your distress tolerance action plan to help you get back on track. And if you're struggling, don't give up. Revisit the earlier modules, take your time, and find someone who can support you through developing these new distress tolerance skills. If you're finding that you're continuing to use your old escape methods, particularly drug or alcohol use or self-harm, then we strongly advise seeking professional assistance. Contact your GP to find a mental health professional who can help. Emotional well-being. Whilst these modules have focused on helping you learn skills to better tolerate emotional distress, we hope that they lead to much more than just tolerance of emotional discomfort. These modules are ultimately about building a sense of emotional well-being and resilience. This journey hasn't been about changing who you are as a person, but instead finding space and strength within yourself to face your feelings. Developing confidence that you can better cope with your emotions through applying the skills introduced in these modules will likely have flow-on effects to feeling more content in your life and feeling a healthier human being all around. The take-home message of these modules is that emotional discomfort is not the problem, it's how we react to our emotions that is the issue. If we can see emotional pain as a normal and inevitable human experience that we don't need to fear and avoid, but instead can ride through, then our distress no longer has power over us. Distress is just something to be tolerated by balancing both accepting our distress with improving our distress. Remember that your new distress tolerance skills and beliefs will be a work in progress initially, but if you keep at it consistently over time, you'll soon be able to face your feelings with the new attitude, "I can stand it." Module summary. A distress tolerance action plan requires 5 key steps. Identifying triggers of distress, identifying warning signs of distress, committing to dropping escape methods and doing the opposite action, accepting distress using mindfulness skills, and improving distress through distress improvement activities like active and soothing activities, self-encouragement, and problem solving. Your distress tolerance action plan can be used at times when distress spontaneously arises for you, or at times when you actively seek out distress, which is what we call distress exposure. Distress exposures are purposefully confronting situations that cause you emotional distress. This is done in a gradual stepladder fashion. It requires applying your distress tolerance action plan when you face these situations, staying in the situation until the distress subsides, repeating steps to gain confidence before moving on to the next step, rewarding your success and learning from any difficulties. Distress exposure is designed to help you gain practice and confidence in your new distress tolerance skills. If you keep using your distress tolerance action plan and keep facing your distress rather than trying to escape it, then over time you'll weaken the distress intolerant beliefs that are at the heart of your difficulties in dealing with distress. Now, congratulations on making it through these modules. Now is the time for practice and persistence. This concludes the final module of the reading. Feel free to review the materials as needed. Thank you for listening.